Deuteronomy chapter 11, let's all stand. We're going to read starting in verse 2. Follow along because we're going to skip a couple verses to go down farther in the chapter. But Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 2 says this, "And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm, his miracles and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt and unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and unto all Israel." And it goes on to list more of those. Look at verse 7. "But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did." Now we're going to skip ahead, keep in that chapter, and go to verse number 16. Verse number 16. "Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off of the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates." And let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity tonight to be here together as a church. Lord, I don't take it lightly that I have the responsibility, Lord, and the opportunity, but also a great responsibility to bring the message this evening. Lord, I do pray for my pastor, pray for his health. I pray for my ears to be, Lord, what they need to be as we review, as we go over this lesson again. Lord, not just a lesson, but a message, a truth. And I pray that tonight our hearts would be stirred as a church towards the ministry. I pray that we would take heed. I pray that each and every person would listen for the thing that God has for them. Lord, I know in a message that there can be many things given, but a truth that is given that may not be, Lord, what we even know that we're going to get when we walk in the door, and what we need is what I want everybody to go home with tonight. Help me to say what I need to. Lord, help me not to say anything that shouldn't be said. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Obviously, in Deuteronomy, you've got Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then Joshua, Judges, and you go on and on. We're getting ready to pass the mantle, basically. Moses is talking to the children of Israel. He's reviewing quite a few things. If you go back through and read the book of Deuteronomy, he is reviewing quite a few things. He's reviewing the mighty acts of the Lord. He's reviewing the Ten Commandments. He's reviewing the law. He's charging the people. By the way, he's reminding them of the things they did wrong. He's doing a pretty good job of that. He's reminding them of all the great things God has done for them. And that's what we ought to do. You know what? We sit in a 50th anniversary year. If you come out of this year not realizing the blessing of God, then you've missed it. All right? If I come out of this year not realizing all the things that God has handed over and the people who've come before, then I totally did not pay attention like I should. In fact, he references that. That's what he says in verse 11. "And know you this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known." He's saying, hey, listen, first, I'm not talking to the ones who are getting ready to go into the promised land. I'm talking to you. Now, they're all getting ready to go into promised land. Does that make sense? They are. And we obviously have the wilderness generation. We obviously have the sinful. We obviously have the folks who, you know what, weren't allowed. By the way, Moses isn't going to go into the promised land. He knows that. All right, God's told him that. But he's looking at him saying, hey, here's some things I just want to remind you. I want you to know. And he says, there are certain groups of you, certain people of you, who whether while you are going to go inherit the blessings, you didn't quite go through all the same things as the people before you, okay? In fact, if you look back in verse 10, I put a mark by some verses I just want you to look at. He goes through some of the, he restores the tablets of stone. He talks about the Ten Commandments. He's going through all that. Look at verse, what they're getting ready to go do. Look at verse 11. And the Lord said in chapter 10, verse 11, "And the Lord said unto me, arise, take thy journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land." He's reminding them of that. "Which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" What is the requirements to be a good Christian? This could be a whole message in and of itself. We're not going to preach tonight. "But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord with thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I commanded thee this day, for thy good, for thy good. So what does that mean? Well, he's presenting the law to these folks, and that's where we get this chapter 11, and we know the verse, and we get to that part where it's verses 18 through 20. That's one of those verses and areas we keep in our hearts a lot. But he looks at him and says, hey, your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord, which the Lord did for you. And because of that, let's go look once again at verse 18 through 20. There's this specific command. And this is where we're going to get to the message tonight. So in Deuteronomy 11:18, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart. That's the word of God. And in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children. There it is. Teach them your children. Speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That sounds like it's all day, doesn't it? All right? That sounds like when we get up in the morning, we ought to read our Bible. Amen? When we go to bed at night, we ought to have read our Bible. We shouldn't let it be the one quick thing we check off the list. Amen? And I know that it's biblical teaching here, and it's about the Bible, and it's definitely about the church, by the way, and about the home and how those things, and obviously God instituted those things. Tonight, though, I'm going to bring a message about this idea of teaching. What we're going to talk about is this, all right? And I'll go ahead and get this in order because it looks like I have all these. Why spend 14,092 hours in Christian education? Why spend, that's it, 14,092 hours in Christian education? Okay? By the way, for those of you wondering, that's 13 years at school. Okay? If you start at kindergarten and you go to 12 years, with a four-day school week, might I add. Let me just throw that in there. All right? Praise the Lord. But it still comes out to, guess what? 14,092 hours in Christian education. Just for all the other people wondering why I didn't pick a bigger number, that would be 59 months of your life. Okay? 1,761 and a half days. 14,092 hours. 845,520 minutes. All right? This is discouraging. I'm glad all the kids are out there. All right? Not all of them. Teenagers are in here. They can grasp the hugeness of this number already. 50,731,200 seconds of your life. All right? Now all the parents are depressed too. Okay? Hey, listen, you know what? But it went by like that. And it was commanded right here. And you say, Brother Young, what does that mean? Well, I want to answer these three questions, and I'll give the three questions to you. The three whys of why would we spend that much time in Christian education. Number one, why have a Christian school? Why? Why would we have one? Number two, why I'm thankful for a Christian school. And number three, why the Christian school could fail. Why the Christian school could fail. I think we'll find that many times throughout, and we're looking at our 50th anniversary of the church, but by the way, we're looking at the 45th this fall of the school. First day of school, and I had that written down, August 29th, 1977, and then I know that following that, and so if you do the math, that would be the 45th anniversary of the school. And why'd they do that? Why did they start? Why shortly after Blessed Hope Baptist School started, why did they go start a school? All right, and I'm sure, listen, if you want to go, and I would definitely, there's many messages been preached about this topic. But let me just give you the first one, ready? Because of the vision and burden of our forefathers. Because of the vision and the burden of our forefathers. You know, I'm sitting here on the blessings. You're sitting on the blessings. We're 50th, and by the way, that's the way the church was started too. The vision and the burden of our forefathers. The command to go out and start a church. And we'll get into some of that. I even brought my school handbook with me. Amen. How many of you want, no, we're not going to do parent orientation early, all right? But listen, hey, we're getting ready to wind down a school year and celebrate a 50th anniversary. And the idea is not to coast through something, but to finish strong. And to keep this, you know what? I don't start right now, you know, thinking about the end of school. No, I've started a few weeks ago. Months ago, thinking about the beginning of next school year, all right? Now, part of that's me, my position, what I'm supposed to do. But to know the truth is, it's not just that. It ought to be a burden in your heart, is to make sure, you know what, why is it? You know, stop and ask yourself why. Stop and ask yourself, parents, why? Why do I teach this? By the way, we're not just talking about, when I say Christian education, I know that I involve Christian education, all right? Sunday school teachers, you are a part in educating the Bible. All right? You are one of those frontlets between the eyes. Right. Okay? By the way, the Christian school is not the most important frontlet in between the eyes. All right? The preaching behind the pulpit is the most important thing. And the preaching day to day as we knock on that person's door is the most important thing. And those are all ways of taking God's word and waving it in front of people's eyes, saying, hey, you, number one, you need to get saved. All right? But besides that, what does it mean when it talks about remember the days of old? What does it mean when it talks about put it in front of our eyes, write it on the post, wake up, go to sleep? That's talking about God's word personally in your home. But why would we spend this much time then? If this is a command for the home only, then why are we starting a Christian school? Well, listen, many sermons and books and articles have been written and proclaimed about the need for Christian schools. If you go back through history, it's a neat study. But listen, far more have been made about the outcry of the testimony against satanic influence in the public schools. You see, the world loves education. They love that word. It's one of their favorite words of all time. Millions of dollars are spent in education every year. Every politician, you'll hear these words out of his mouth, at least that word, education, right? Everyone, from city council up to the governor, up to the president of the United States, they all want to throw out the word education. Why is it billions of dollars? Why is it so much laws and money and all that? Well, how's the result doing? We'll look at that just briefly. We don't have time for that. But the truth is, why is that? Well, listen, hey, far more things, and I could read this list. You know, I have a list here. Let me find it. Okay, many people have said, in fact, Thomas Jefferson said this, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free, it expects what never was and never will be. Okay, it expects what never was and never will be. You can't be ignorant and free, all right? Be careful that we don't, and we are falling into that as Americans. But you know what? I was looking at just what I could find on my own bookshelf and in my own records. And by the way, I couldn't even list all of them. But between publications and sermons and speeches by Christians and saved people of God against the evils of what Satan tries to do in our education system, folks, this has been going on for over 100 years. All right? You go back all the way to 1923. That's 100 years ago. You go back way before that. In fact, I was shocked to find some of the organizations that are being preached against in the 70s and 50s and 60s started in 1853. And it wasn't just evolution, okay? That was the spearhead of it, because if they could get you to believe in evolution, they can get you to believe in all kinds of stuff. And we've seen that for a long time. And we're far beyond the preaching. Of course we're going to preach against evolution. But we are far beyond the evolution being the main thing in the classroom. That's a given. That's been a given for, honestly, 30 years. It's been a given, just about. At least the last 23. Okay? Hey, listen, Martin Luther even said, we'll talk about him in just a minute, but Thomas Jefferson. Hey, listen, Jack Hiles was a trumpeter in that decade. Hey, listen, Bob Ross was a trumpeter in that decade of the evils of what the devil was trying to do in the public school system. And they got up and said, hey, you're walking your kids into there and they're teaching them about this and about this and about this. And by the way, you know, we have it on our list. I'll tell you what it says right here. Blessed Hope Baptist School provides a school that's free from drugs, filthy language, fights, dirty stories, unchristian curriculum. And that is true. You know, that list is so much longer. It really is. I don't even want to think about all the things my kids don't have to see on a day-to-day basis. And you know what? That's what the preaching needs to be about. And I think many times, obviously, we look at the public school system and we look at the world's education philosophy and we realize it's the devil. It's the devil. Somebody said the other day, well, what about this conspiracy stuff? What about the trails of, you know, gas in the atmosphere? And what about, hey, listen, you know what? I can tell you one word. It's the devil and all of his scheme. All right? You can sum up all of this over here to him. And we need to make sure we're not getting distracted by all of that. Yes, but as far as Christian education goes, why then? Why start a school? Well, because of the vision of our forefathers. How about this? Because they had a command to. That's what Deuteronomy 11:19 says. Teach them. Teach them. Teach them. Hey, listen, you know what? And mom and dad, you have a command to. We have a command to as parents. I know this starts in the home long before a child walks into what is supposed to be kindergarten. Amen. All right? It starts at a young age, having Bible time. It starts having morning devotions. It starts going to Sunday school. That's why that ministry pyramid is there. Yeah. Discipleship, outreach, getting people to move up to the Master's Club. What are they doing right now? Teaching them these things and helping in those areas. And you know what? I love it when a young kid who's been in Master's Club a while rides the bus. And then, you know what, eventually reaches that Christian maturity time where he and his parents both realize, hey, you know what? We kind of want to have Master's Club like every day. All right, let's go to the Christian school. Amen. That's kind of what it is in a lot of ways. But you know what? Here we go. Why do we do that? Well, here's another reason. Ready? Go to Matthew chapter 5 real quick. Why have a Christian school? Because the world needs more lights, not less. Now, this verse in Matthew chapter 5, we were sitting in chapel today over at Bethel Baptist Church, and Brother Kurt LeBeau is a man who is blind, and he sings. He preached regarding this message here, this verse here in chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we know the verse. Verse 13, "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Here's the instruction. "Neither do men light a candle and put it on a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." What's the purpose of a Christian school? To help in bringing glory to God. I want to teach the students to give glory to God. We ought to teach our children to give glory to God. How do they do that? Well, when they go to school, they're not hearing the things that are evil, wrong, and wicked. Hey, when they open that Bible in the morning, they know what it says. They can read the words. By the way, why is it important that we learn to read? All right? So we can read the Bible. So we can understand the words it says. Hey, listen, students, why after sixth grade should you not be, you know what? We've got, shoot the thing over here, all right? You listen up. Why does it matter if I look in the dictionary, Brother Young? What does it matter if I don't know the word's meaning? All right, fine then. Okay? Good luck studying your Bible. Okay? You go find that in the... I know, there's Google. All right? And the truth is, that's true. It is easier. Amen? But the truth is, we got to know it. We got to study it. We got to go to it.
Right.
All right. Why have a Christian school? Why have a Christian school? Well, because, number one, the world is wicked. We need lights. All right? Stay there, and let's go ahead and stay there. Go ahead and turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Because the education of mankind, here's why. By the way, some schools do focus on academics. And our ministry, you got to understand, the ministry of the school is not the light. That's not the only thing. All right? The church is the light. And if you read the handbook, and I won't sit here and read it to you, it tells us that BHBC and BHBS are two different things. BHBS is just like the bus ministry. It is a ministry of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know what our goal is? To support our pastor. Right. To go out and faithfully execute the ministry of giving the gospel to other people. We're a ministry of the church. And by the way, a ministry that, if it's not for your prayers, it would fail. It's one of the reasons it would fail, is if people don't support, people don't love, people don't gather around that ministry. But here's the deal. Listen, the education of mankind, man, it's farther and farther from the truth. Martin Luther said this, and I'll read this. I got too many quotes, one too many things here. But obviously, since 1973 and in that era, there's been, and you know what, folks, listen, turn your TV on for 5 minutes and watch the news, if you can. You know what you're going to find? Every single day, there's a story about some kind of education going on. Every single day. Every single day, there's a new curriculum they're trying to push on some kid. Every single day. By the way, thank you, brother, for getting ready to go to Canada. Canada is in dire straits.
Yep.
The system of education, they have something, it's called SOGI 123, okay? They're teaching gender orientation and everything from the youngest grades to the oldest grades, pushing it all the way through. You know what that is? That's the devil.
Amen.
That's the devil. And the truth is, the Christian school, you know what? The greatest single victory, here's what one man said about the public education. The greatest single victory of the gay movement over the past, this was 2001, decade has been, in the 90s, has been to shift the debate from behavior to identity. You hear that all the time.
Right.
Forcing opponents to a position where they can be seen as attacking a specific antisocial behavior, all right? Trying to say, well, their behavior isn't what we're worried about. It's their identity. It's who they are, all right? You seeing that in your children today? You seeing that in the bus kids? You seeing that in the hairstyles? Or you seeing that in the world's advertisements? They don't want us to focus on the behavior because they know the behavior is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, that goes all the way down to the worst thing you can think of.
Right.
But over here, they want to say, well, this is just who they are. hey, listen, as a Christian school, our focus is on the fact that, you know what? Your identity is who God created you to be. Okay? And your identity is that God loves you. All right? God cares for you and he has a plan for you. But listen, your behavior matters. That's the Bible teaching. That's the frontlets between your eyes, that your daily walk, your salt and light, your testimony, it matters. Martin Luther has quoted a saying, and I thought this is so true. It almost rules out most Christian schools today. I'm very much afraid that schools will prove to be the greatest gates of hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures, engraving them in the hearts of the youth. I advise no one to place his child where the Scriptures does not reign paramount. No one. Every institution in which men are not increasingly occupied with the Word of God must become corrupt. Corrupt. By the way, that goes for churches and schools that call themselves Christian. Hey, listen, the Word of God needs to be number one. It's why at Blessed Hope Baptist School we have scripture reward trips. All right? You say, Brother Young, is that just to have fun? No, it's to motivate our kids to learn scripture and love scripture. All right? It's one of those benefits of being in a Christian school. And listen, at a Christian home, thank God that you were born and that your kids are born to parents who are saved. All right? If you grew up without that opportunity, you know what it's like, don't you? And that's why as a parent, we ought to be focused on, how do I not let that happen to my child? What can we do? Well, why have a Christian school? Those are the reasons. All right, let me just quickly tell you this. Why I'm thankful for a Christian school? Why am I thankful for the Christian school? There's way more we could do on why have one. You know what? I'm thankful that I have godly leaders for my children to follow and learn from and look up to. I'm thankful that we have a pastor that loves God, teachers that love God. I don't have to worry about who the teacher is when I walk in there. I don't have to worry about whether the teacher doesn't have a Bible on their desk. I don't have to worry about whether the teacher has an agenda that they're trying to push. I love the fact that that's the case. Hey, listen, I love the fact that, by the way, I'm thankful for a Christian school because of all that list we just mentioned. All right? I'm thankful my kids don't have to be exposed to that. Hey, listen, I'm thankful, number three, that it's focused on the Bible and the commands given it to it. We just read that. No parent, no person should ever take their child and put them in an environment where, you know what, the Bible's not number one. Okay? I'm thankful I have godly men who challenge us in chapel time. I made a list. This is the people who've spoken in chapel at Blessed Hope Baptist School this year. We've had Pastor Jerry Ross, Jesse McCammon, Doug Castle, Pastor McIntyre, Pastor Kemp, Pastor Larger, Pastor Reiser, Pastor Clanny, Pastor Swarga, Pastor Clark, Brother Gordon, Brother Young, Missionary Xavier Perak, and many more throughout the years. Okay? Hey, you know what? The kids shouldn't gloss over that time. They shouldn't forget that time. They're going to remember some of those times. I don't know which one of them it is, but it might live forever in their and make an eternal difference in their life. Okay, I'm thankful for a Christian school because there's a church family that prays for them. You know, there are people every day who take that list of kids in the school and they pray over that every single day. I'm thankful that I've got my kids in a spot like that. Hey, listen, I'm thankful for this. Countless opportunities to serve or experience things they otherwise might not have had the chance to experience. You say, Brother Young, what are that? Listen, it doesn't mean you can't do some of these things if you're not in that. It doesn't mean you can't do some of these if you didn't have that opportunity. But some of them are very specific. I'm thankful that my kids get to do this. You ready? Buckle up. Here we go. They help set up for funerals and funeral dinners. They help decorate, prepare, clean the school. They carry they carry chairs and they clean tables. Right, Max? Hey, listen, they get to write notes and color pictures for the folks in our church who are shut in. They get to read and recite Bible passages every morning. They get to sing a spiritual song every morning. They get to have pizza with pastor. They get to carry chairs and clean tables. Hey, they have focused Bible classes. They enjoy a pace race. They enjoy class Christmas parties. They have a history fair. They have a creation fair. You don't get that at the public school. They carry chairs and clean tables. They put on a Christ-honoring play. They receive merits. They learn songs that glorify the Lord. They have a merit sale. They have a Brother Harrison who does the merit sale this year. Thank you for. And listen, they have many godly senior saints who've come in and done the merit sale over the years. All right? They get to carry chairs and clean tables. They learn new songs and hymns in chapel. They participate in PE activities that are modest, wholesome, fun. Hey, that doesn't happen in the world. They go on field trips. Yeah. They visit locations, learn about India. They have a scripture reward trip. Scripture reward trip. What in the world? By the way, you want to know what the most expensive, most important, most fun trip that we have in our school of anything? I always make it that one. And I make it not easy. They have to say the whole thing by memory all the way. But you know what? We have kids who participate in that. Hey, listen, they get to carry chairs and clean tables. They learn the daily discipline of daily routine. They get to clean chairs and clean tables. They learn the discipline and joy of goals accomplished. They get to carry chairs and clean tables. Learn the discipline of faithfulness and attendance to a place of service. They have a graduation ceremony. They receive awards on Honor Day. I know a lot of those you could check off in some other place, but they get to do all of that with God's word emphasized. Hey, listen, I am thankful and blessed that my kids get to attend Blessed Hope Baptist School. And I just want to say thank you for that. But also, I want to ask you to know this. Why the Christian school could fail? Why could it fail? Number one, if we change the focus away from the Word of God, it will fail. It will fail. I know of highly academic places. I know of places that as a principal in some ways would seem enticing to emulate. Okay? But I know the result. And it's not something we want. Can we take some things? Can we learn some things? Can we add some things? Of course. Okay. Can we polish our stance? Can we have an eloquent performance? Can we do all of those things? Can we show up and be faithful and be diligent and get our goals done and do our work? Can the kids come away knowing physics, calculus, and chemistry? Well, not in the last few years. All right. I'm just kidding. Ask the senior girls. All right. Hey, listen, you know what? Can we come away knowing all those knowledgeable things and having all of our boxes checked and our goals marked? But you know what? If we take the focus away from the Word of God, we have failed. Amen. If the kids don't, if they put it here but not here, they didn't truly hide the Word in their heart. Right. Hey, listen, countless young people I've had in just the last 8 years, okay? 8 years of school, start my ninth school next year. How many senior classes, how many groups have gone and they had it here, they could say it all. Some of them even go on the scripture reward trip. And you know what? Something never happened here. Right. Hey, we got to do that. Number two, here's how it could fail. If we, the parents in the home, wrongly assume that it's the only place that they learn. If we wrongly assume it's the only place in Lund, the school will suffer. That's right. The school suffers if the home suffers. Hey, the school suffers if the church suffers. It's just a ministry of those two things. God founded the home and the church. God founded the idea that we need to go be a light to the world. And one way we can do that is through a Christian school. But listen, it will fail. If we forget to apply Deuteronomy 11:19 to my own life, if I forget to do that, if I go to Deuteronomy 19 and Deuteronomy 11 and think, well, that's for my kids, then I just failed. Because the truth is, I need those in front of my eyes. I need those on my heart. I need those written where I can see them. I need those to affect the way I do things. Parents, we need to do that. We can't assume that if we let them go to a Christian school, well, they'll take care of it. It's not how it works. And that goes for everything. That goes for academics as well. So many things are caught at home. There's the old, it's easier caught than taught type of thing. All right, and that's true. And that goes all the way down to the teaching at Blessed Hope Baptist School, the monitors, the teachers, the servants. All right? It's easier to be caught than it is taught. I have done that. I've stopped myself and said, man, I'm just trying to teach this and I'm not practicing it. Okay? You done that as a parent yet? Okay? Has it been a while? We need to stop and make sure in our homes that we're out going soul winning and we're out reading the Bible. Hey, listen, they're not going to learn to read their Bible just by a checklist from Brother Young at school. They're not going to learn to read their Bible and memorize it if we're doing that only in one arena of our life. Hey, listen, the school will fall and fail if we assume that it's the place that things are done. Hey, listen, number three, if we cease to follow God's plan for us as a church to reach and disciple the lost, then the school fails. The school fails. We're not about numbers. Hey, listen, you can have, I put down here, you know, school shouldn't be greater than church. Shouldn't, okay? And I love the school, I love being part of it, but it's never greater than church. It's never greater than the Great Commission. It's never greater than telling somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And many schools and many principals across the world have sat there in their fancy suit their nice office, and they've been disciplinarians and instructors, but they have failed. Because they may have 500 students in their school, but their local church is suffering because they're more about a school. Hey, listen, there's colleges, Bible colleges of the past, where you would have sent your young people. But suddenly, I can't find the name church anywhere. They have campus church. They have a school that is so big that essentially it's not a church, it's a school. Right. Hey, be careful. Be careful about that. You know what? If we don't grow spiritually as a church, we'll fail. Sure, we can grow in numbers, but many schools have done that and they failed. Hey, listen, numbers don't determine the obedience in the heart. Go read Revelation with all the churches that were listed, right? There was the productive churches, there was the lazy churches, there was the hardworking churches. And you know what? Numbers alone was not what God was looking at. He was looking at their heart. Hey, listen, you know what? I wrote down this quote today. And this is something, let's review. Why have a Christian school? Well, all those reasons. Why I'm thankful for a Christian school? I could give you 10, 20, 30 more reasons. Hey, listen, why would it fail if we fail away from the focus of God's word, if the focus at home doesn't match up, and if the focus of the Great Commission goes away? Those three things, that's really it. Hey, listen, school, home, and church got to work together. All right, all for the glory of God. I wrote this down because Brother Castle, Doug Castle, said this. I don't know if it's his quote personally or if it's something that he repeated, but here it is. If what you're living for isn't worth dying for, then it's not really worth living for. If what you're living for isn't worth dying for, then it's not worth living for. Hey, listen, you say, well, Brother Young, what about my kids? Are they worth dying for? Well, stop and think about that for a second, because that I had to stop and think about it. And I know I would lay down my life for my children. Okay? But then you got to ask yourself one thing. Why is that? Okay? Is it because I'm living for my kids? Well, that shouldn't be the reason. I shouldn't live for my kids. I should live for the Lord who loves my kids. So I love my kids. And now I am. Hey, listen, you still got to put it over here. On this side, you have the Lord. Hey, are you living for academics or are you living for the Lord? Well, you know what? I think the Lord loves the knowledge that he wants to give you. So live for the Lord and this will come. Hey, listen, you're living for money or are you living for the Lord? Hey, I think the Lord wants your needs to be met, but live for him first and he'll add this to you. Are you living for a school or an institution or a church or are you living for the Lord? Okay. Hey, listen, 50th anniversary of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, if I'm doing this for Blessed Hope Baptist Church and not doing it for him, I won't do this forever. Right. I got to make sure. Hey, listen, I had to stop and think about that. And I'll just share this with you. I had to stop and think, would I lay down my life for my kids? Of course I would, because I love the Lord and I love my kids. Would I lay down my life for your kids if someone comes into our school this week? Okay? Hey, listen, not everybody has to face that same decision. Not everybody has to face that same responsibility. I would ask that you pray for the people at school. I'd ask that you pray for our public school kids. You'd pray them out of there. Pray our bus kids here. Pray our bus kids to a good place, a safe place. But the truth is, I had to ask my life, and I said, hey, if I lay down my life for this person, what six kids now don't have a father? But you know who I'm following? The Lord. And if the Lord says, do that, then I'm going to do it. Okay? And you know what? Jesus did that. Jesus did that. He looked over and said, I could live for, but I love them. And I'm going to lay down my life for them. And you know what? The ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like the Lord Jesus. If what I'm living for isn't worth dying for, then it's not really worth living for. I want to make sure that as a parent, I'm not living for the school. I'm not living for money. I'm not living for all these things. That I'm living for who? The Lord. Why would the Christian school fail if we lose sight of that truth right there? Make sure we're living for the right things. Make sure we're taking these and putting them here as a frontlet between my eyes, as a table upon my heart. Let's keep the focus in our Christian education at home, at church, at school, on the Bible. Let's keep that in our hearts. Lord, thank you for the opportunity tonight to, Lord, express thankfulness for your blessings. Lord, you blessed our church in a mighty way, not just with the many wonderful folks that are here tonight, but Lord, decades of servants for you. Lord, decades of people we could go back and we could find times in our school's history, in our church history, where there's people who just got this. and groups of students who came out of a school willing and ready to lay down whatever they had to serve you. I do pray, Lord, that we would have that same passion and zeal now. I pray that you'd give that to us as parents. Much of that is learned at home, not at the school, not even in a Sunday school somewhere, but Lord, in the day-to-day serving of you. I pray for that passion to come into our lives. I pray for that zeal, that fact that we would read your word, let it influence our lives. Keep these things as the focus of our ministry and be the salt and light that a dark world needs. Thank you for this ministry. I do pray for the prayers of God's people to be upon the students and those going forward. Pray for our seniors, Lord, those who will be graduating very soon, going out into another part of their life. And I pray, God, that you would please to guide and direct them.